There's a lot of, I mean, not a lot of times, but there's times that we'll come up here and we're like, we're going to worship. We don't care if y'all leave, we're going to worship. But from the human side, and from realistically speaking, when y'all come in these doors and you're ready to worship, and you join along with us, and you proclaim with us, it makes a huge difference. It gets to another level. And that's what we want to do, is we want to get to another level. We want to get as close. When we're coming in here, we're trying to get as close to God as we can. Why are we trying to get close to God? So we can hear Him. The closer I am to God, the better I hear Him. The more I know His voice, the more I know what He wants me to do, how He wants me to feel. We need that closeness for a lot of reasons. But I need to hear Him. All right, this morning you can ask Cammie, I've struggled with how to get this across. I've struggled for what scriptures use. I've struggled with all of it, except for the one thing is I feel like I was supposed to talk about this topic. So with that in mind, we're going to talk about this topic and do my best. I brought two Bibles. It makes me look more spiritual. See, it looks like wow, he's got two Bibles. Well, this one doesn't have the Old Testament in it, so I need this one for the Old Testament. It's a Passion Translation and an NIV. All right, this morning I want to talk about two things. We're going to talk about rivers, and we're going to talk about wells. And they're two things that provide water. They're two things that are useful to, grow things and to feed us in the physical. But we're also obviously mirroring this with spiritual things. I want to talk about what a river does. Cindy's got a few slides. She's just so you can visualize what a river is. You all know what a river is. There's a certain feel when you're standing next to a river. I mean, I'm talking like a raging, powerful river. It has a, it has a feel. Brother, you stand in a river and you fish, and you know what it feels like. You know what it feels like to hear that water rushing. You don't know exactly where that water's coming from. You don't know exactly where it's going, but you know it's moving. Something's happening, and you feel that passing by, and it has a coolness to it. There's a refreshing feel about being around a river. It just has that about it. The definition of a river, I'm going to get real basic on you guys, okay? A river is a natural flowing water course, usually fresh water, flowing toward an ocean, sea, lake, or another river. In some cases, river flows into the ground and becomes dry at the end of its course without reaching another body of water. Small rivers can be referred to as streams or creeks. But water generally collects in a river from precipitation through a draining river basin. So basically, if you think about a river, it never just starts off really big. You don't just go to a river, and there it is. It's the river. Here's the start of it, and here it goes. It comes from a lot of small tributaries and creeks and things like that. That's what feeds into a river. God drops things in our lives. These are things that come to us. God drops things into our lives. He drops blessings into our lives. He drops people into our lives. He drops praise and worship songs into our lives that help us get closer to Him. He drops pastors and preachers and podcasts into our lives that come from Him down to teach us and build us and to grow us and things like that. I think of those as like God's rain on us. Things that He's sending. I'm sending this to you so that you can feel it, so that you can know that I love you. I'm sending this to you. That's God's rain almost. If you go with me on this. And as that rain comes down, it should flow into our river, into our life. He wants to use those things. He wants to use all of these blessings that we feel, and He wants to combine them in this place. He wants to combine them first in your family. You know, husbands and wives, moms and dads. They should flow into us, and then that flows into our family with our kids, if we're blessed with that, and other people that God has put in our lives to bless and flow with. That's what starts this river. Okay? And then we bring it into the house. We have to learn how to channel these things. Okay? A lot of times, I don't know, Cammie and I, we realized when we were at Disney World we needed new rain jackets because it rained on us for like 3 days and we were soaking wet. So I've done all this research on raincoats because that's what I do. It's an outdoor thing, so I think it's cool. You know, I'm seeing which ones are the most expensive ones I could possibly get because that's what I need. But it's almost like we're a raincoat. It's almost like we're this Gore-Tex raincoat that just repels some of these things sometimes. And it just hits us, and it just splatters. And we're like, okay, that's cool. And then it just splatters off, and we don't do anything with it. Sometimes we'll hear a sermon, and you're like, hey, that's cool. And we walk out, and, oh, well, I didn't do anything with it. We'll hear a podcast, and we'll say, oh, that was cool. And then we won't do anything with it. We'll have this time of worship that God just blesses us with, but we don't do anything with it. We just let it hit us and kind of splatter off, but we don't get wet. We don't let it absorb into us. We need to take that raincoat off. We need to take that layer that we protect ourselves because, oh, I don't want to get wet because being wet's messy and I may be uncomfortable. It's the last thing I want to do in a rainstorm is get wet and be uncomfortable. But that's the first thing we should want to do when we're in that rain of God so that we can get wet and then we can channel what God is giving us. As a body, we should channel these things together. And once, Nick, you channel your revelation and Paul channels his revelation, and we put all these things together, we become a formidable river. We become a river that's got some substance, that's got something to it. People feel something when they walk in the door. And I think we are that. This is not a Victor, you're doing bad. This is a let's keep going kind of thing. That's what we want. A river is a collection of water from different places. It doesn't all come from the same place. The Mississippi River has water from, and I didn't do all my super deep research, but multiple places in the United States, up in the Midwest and up north. It comes from different places. It feeds from different rivers. These waters come from different places. Don't be afraid to intermingle with other people. You know, so it's easy to say our water is this temperature, and we like to stay right here, and this is what we do, and somebody else's water flows in. We're like, whoa, wait a minute, man. I don't know about that. That's not going to work out because that feels different. You're doing this different. Oh, they don't sing that song like we sang that song. That's not right. He preaches out a different Bible than, you know, a different version of the Bible than, you know, it should only be NIV or whatever your preference is. Maybe they speak in tongues, and I don't speak in tongues. Maybe they don't speak in tongues, and I speak in tongues. We can find all sorts of temperature gauges that we find different. And then we can say, oh, well, that's the case. We can't flow with them. The Mississippi River, if it kicked out all the water that flowed into it that wasn't exactly like the original stream, then it would never be any bigger than what it is now. We have to accept that. Guys, I feel like God's about to grow this church. And I don't know what that looks like necessarily. I don't know if that's every seat in here is filled. I don't know if that's we have to build something out there, just have church outside. I don't know what that looks like. But I think God's going to grow this church. And it may be He just grows who we are. And it makes the river that comes out of us larger. I don't know. But I think God's going to do something here. I think God's in the midst of doing something. I don't think He has us here for no reason. God doesn't have you here for no reason this morning. A river can have debris and pollutants and dirt in it. We cannot say a river is bad if it has some branches or trash in it. We simply see the good and clean it out and let God filter and clean. Just because your brother or sister's river looks different than yours doesn't mean that you don't need to co-labor with them. And we can pick out these things, God. I mean, guys, as a church, I mean, look at how many denominations we have. It's because this one likes this, and this one interprets it this way, and that way, and this way, and that way. I think something that, and this is one of the reasons I wanted to do this, is in talking with Sid one-on-one and from sermons that he's brought since he's gotten back from Honduras, is I think he was really, really moved And he got to experience, obviously we know this, but when you experience it's different. When you're working alongside of a Church of Christ person, and you see the impact that they're making on people, and you say, you know what, I'm not really all that worried about your petty doctrine. Big doctrine's important. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He came, and he's the only way to Jesus Christ. That stuff's important. Some of this other stuff, we get caught up on it. And Satan uses it to divide us, because the last thing he needs is a really, really powerful river flowing. Because that powerful river, what does a river do? It waters. It brings water to places. It waters all of these things. In John chapter 7, Jesus is talking. And in verse 37, John chapter 7, verse 37, he says, then on the most important day of the feast, he was at a feast, the last day, Jesus stood and shouted. I like that he shouted out to the crowd. And this is in the Passion. All you thirsty ones, come to me. Come to me and drink. Believe in me so that the rivers of living water will burst out from within you, flowing from your innermost being, just like the Scripture says. He calls us to be a river. And it comes from in here. It comes from in here, and that's where it starts. Jesus, that's what he wanted for us. We got to get in the river. We have to get in this river. We have to be part of it. But as Sid's talked about, you know, for a long time we've been I would view our church in a good way, and I think I think a lot of people agree that we're kind of that deep well church. Now you come in here and there's not 2,000 people in here, but the people that are in here are wanting to go deep with God. And that's not a bad thing at all. And that's what we're about to talk about. But I think there's a transition where this deep well and this place that we're at, we're about to be a mighty river. We're about to go out and to touch nations. This nation, this county, this nation, other nations. Honduras, we're hooked up big time with Honduras now. I mean, I think there's this connection with us, this church, and that place. But we're also hooked up to the Philippines and in the Middle East. We're hooked up to different places. We just need to open our eyes and realize that we are a river. Right now, we're a river. When you go down to the CCC on Thursday nights, you're being part of that river. Because we could have said no to that. We could have said, oh, man, there's a bunch of stiff-necked Baptist people over there. I can't do that. They wear ties to church. They don't know who Jesus is. Jesus didn't wear a tie. I mean, I'm telling you, I've been a Pentecostal a long time. I've heard some crazy stuff. In that, you're missing the point that Jesus didn't care what you had on. It's ironic that we do that. But we don't. We don't do that. We join in that river. We join in that, going down there and being a part of that. There's so much of that to do. There's so much going out to do. And I think Sid's, you know, as a leader of our church, is really feeling that move, that feeling of it's time for us to go out. It's time for us to be that river. It's time for us to press forward and everything. I don't want you to, you see how powerful that river is? You see how it's moving and it's changing things. It changes landscapes. As rivers move, they change the landscape that they're in. Go to the Grand Canyon. We had the opportunity to go to the Grand Canyon last summer. And you look at the Colorado River, and literally, most of the places on the rim, the south rim that you stand on the Grand Canyon, you can't even see the Colorado River. Every once in a while, you say, oh, look, I think that's some water right there. But you can't see it. But see what it's done to the landscape around it. See the sediment that it's moved, the layers that it's uncovered. That's the power of a river. So if you ever think, oh, I don't need to be part of that, then you're wrong. As long as that river is flowing in the right place, as long as it's flowing for Christ and His love and who He is. Because there are wrong rivers you can get in. Mainstream world has got a river of its own going. That's not what you want to be a part of. You've got to be a part of His river, of what He's doing, of how He's changing, because He changes for the good. Now, flip side of that. Not flip side. Other thing I want to talk about is the well. We use a term, I want to be a deep well, a lot. a deep well, and we're talking spiritually, we want to be this deep well that gets deep revelation from God. And absolutely we want to be that. We absolutely want to be this person that digs in deep. What is a well? A well is an excavated structure created by digging, driving, and drilling to access liquid, usually water. The oldest, most common kind of water, a well, is a water well, to access groundwater in underwater aquifers. The well water is drawn by pump using containers such as buckets and is raised mechanically or by hand. Talks about how long wells have been around. And then wells have traditionally been sunk by hand digging, as is the case in rural areas in the developing world. These wells are inexpensive, low-tech, and they're usually lined with brick or stone or some kind of material. And then more modern wells, we drop like concrete sleeves almost down in there. So a well is what you're trying to do is you're trying to get to a deeper place. They provide fresh water in a place that doesn't have water. Wells, a lot of times, and a lot of you may have a well on your property, especially if our city water ran everywhere, everybody had wells. I have a well in my front yard that's got a board over it, and we don't use it because I get it from Harrelson County. But people had wells, and the reason you had a well is because there wasn't a river flowing next to your house to pull water from. And you didn't want to walk however long to get water. You can look in Africa right now and a lot of these rural areas, and that's the example that comes to mind just because we see a lot of it, where they're coming in and digging wells for communities because they have to walk so far to this water, to this river that's so far away. My sister and her husband have done a lot of stuff in Kenya and Uganda and everything, and they've gone with the ladies during the day and carried the buckets and walked down, I think it was, I don't know, 3 or 4 miles. I can't remember. It was like really insane. They walk down into this muddy gorge where this muddy water is flowing, and they fill these jugs up with water, and they literally put them on their heads. I don't think Tommy was able to do that. I think he carried it. But carry these jugs the 4 miles back, or however long it was, 3 miles, whatever it was. And then when they get back, they dump it into this big, you know, cauldron thing, and as Tommy had a picture of him pouring it out, and it just looks like muddy water. And that's their water. They don't have access to a well. So why do we dig wells? Because we need to be able to sustain our own water source. That's what a well is going to do for you. It's a pure water. When we dig personally, on a personal level, when we dig into God's Word, we dig deep into God, we're going to find a pure water with Him. We're going to find a pure place with Him. You have the opportunity individually, and I believe this is true, God wants to supply you with the water that you need. I can't supply it for you. And there's a certain place that you can't get it just by coming to church. You can't get it by going to the river. Because remember, we get to the river and it's got debris in it and it's got a lot of stuff in it. And it's a good thing. It's something we've got to be a part of. But if we just solely drink from the river, there's going to be times that we get some junk in our bowl. There's going to be times when we're pouring it out and like, yeah, this will do, but is this the purest water I can drink? God wants you to dig your own well with Him. God wants you to have that deep relationship with Him. God wants you to be that deep well that I'm talking about. If you're not, then you're just solely relying on the river. What happens to some rivers when it doesn't rain? They dry up. They go away. You can go out west and you can cross all these things. Driving out west, you'll cross the Pecos Bill River. Not really, but you know, whatever. And there's a sign. It's like a real river sign, and you're going over a bridge. You're like, oh, well, this is going to be cool, and it's a gully. There's not a drop of water in it. There's nothing there. If you are dependent on a river from rain, even rain from God, understand There's times in this word that there's droughts that come. There's times in this word that he sends droughts for certain reasons. Read it front to back. It talks about it. If you have your own well dug in your backyard, when that river dries up, you will not die. You will be sustained. You'll be able to press forward. So when I talk about we've got to be all in on the river, we've got to be all in on the well too. Because you cannot sustain the river without the well. You cannot be in the river without your own well, or you're going to get swept away into things that you're not supposed to be swept away into. You've got to know who you are. You've got to know who you are in God. You've got to know who God says you are. If, pull that other picture up, Sandy. We had one. So this is like an old, probably somewhere in the Middle East, hand-dug well. And you'll notice the rocks that go down the side of it, like we were talking about a minute ago. We have to reinforce, as we dig with God, as you dig this well with God, and when I say dig, let me explain. I mean reading your word. Okay, this is real basic. Reading your word and praying are the two biggest things, and worship. You throw those three things in the mix and truly, truly seek after God and say, God, I'm going to open this word today and I want you to teach me something. I want you to show me something that Pastor Sid can't show me, that Brother Nick can't show me, that James can't show me, that only you can show me. I'm going to open this word, and God, I need something from you. I need something. I want to hear something from you. I want to dig my own well with you. And Sid talks about creating a history with God. That's what he's talking about. He's talking about digging your own well. And he'll tell you he can't dig it for you. I can't dig it for you. I'm not a well digger. Sorry. I need to be in my life, but I can't be in yours. Nobody can be. If you're waiting for somebody else to come, in Africa right now, there are communities hoping and praying somebody will come over with a well drilling machine and dig them a well. They have no other means to do it. The difference between them and us is God gives us the ability to dig that well. Talk to God. Pray to God. Listen to God. If you're mad at God, tell God you're mad at Him. If you don't understand the situation, tell God, God, I don't understand this situation. He is not scared of what you have to say to Him at all. Dig into God. Worship God. Don't just worship when we're in here together. Don't just do it when we're in here together. Worship on your own. Worship by yourself. Worship in your prayer closet. Worship on your way to work. Worship at work, depending on what kind of work you do. Worship everywhere, because that brings you closer. I'm just challenging you guys this morning to make that personal relationship more than, you know, I got saved and I'm good now. Because if you got saved and you're good now, that's great. You're part of the river. We're going to heaven. It's all cool. But you need to impact. It's too important not to impact. The walls of your well must be reinforced the deeper you go to protect the well. So if God gives you this deep revelation, something that, hey, I'm challenging you, James, to do this. I want you to do this. For one, if I don't do it, then I'm not protecting that thing. So what? As I dug down and God's like, you know, hey, here's a new layer of something I want from you. And I say, ooh, I'm not going to do that. Guess what? That mud just falls down, builds up. It's hard to go deeper. If you're digging a hole and the walls keep falling in on you because you're not reinforcing them, what's going to happen? It's going to get this big old hole and you're not going to get a well. You're never going to hit water because it keeps falling in on you because you don't follow through with what God told you to do. So what you've got to do is you've got to say, for one, is what I just got, is what God just gave me, does it line up with this? That's very important. It better line up with this. If it doesn't line up with the Word of God, then you need to rethink it. But it should line up with the Word of God. So the first thing we should do when God reveals something to us, when God shows us something new, we say, all right, where is that in the Word? How does that line up with the Word? And it may be through the Word, so you already may already be there. Hopefully it is. But if not, God reveals Himself so many ways. If it lines up with that, then you know what we need to do? We need to get us a brick. We need to get us a stone. And we need to start praying on it. We need to start doing something about what God gave us. And we need to cover that thing up. And we need to protect it. And that allows us to go deeper. When we just let these things collapse in, when we come to church and God speaks to our heart on a personal level and we don't do anything with it, it just collapses in on us. So it's important to protect what God gives us. Talks about in the Word to guard your heart. That's part of what that is, guarding what God has given you. Because He entrusts us with things. And once He entrusts us with those things, we need to take them very seriously. If we have deep revelation or deep places you have gone with God and we don't reinforce them, that's what I said, it collapses. And then we're not useful to the kingdom. See, all this is about the kingdom. All this is about His work and about what He's doing in the world. And yes, He wants this deep relationship with us, but we're here to spread that to other people. So that's the danger of being in the well. Is because what we want to do is we want to dig deeper, and that's good for me, God. I want to dig deeper, and that's good for me, God. I want to dig deeper, that's good for me. But we never share it with somebody else. We're just this deep, amazing word that is useful to no one. I can have all the answers in the world, but if I never open my mouth to tell somebody else what the answers are, then it's useless. I can have the cure to cancer in my pocket right here, written down on a formula. But if I keep it in my pocket and I don't share it with anybody and I don't take it to the people that need to hear it, then it's useless. I can have the greatest testimony in the world that God has done the most amazing. I challenge the Blake House guys when I speak to them usually. Satan wants you to be quiet about what you've gone through. Satan wants you to get out and never say a word to anybody about having an addiction problem. Because that means that the guy that you work with one day or in contact one day that has the addiction problem thinks he's all alone. He doesn't think somebody else has walked through it. See, that's the beauty of the river. When you're in it with people, you realize other people are going through it. You realize you're not alone. God wants us to share our struggles. And that is not easy. I don't like telling you all my jacked up stuff, guys. This is not a fun thing. But when I tell you my jacked up stuff, you say, "Wow, I'm not as jacked up as James. I feel better." That's the point. That's the point. That's how God wants us to fellowship together. And He wants all those revelations that we're getting, all that stuff He's teaching. It, yes, it's for us, but it's for the kingdom. Because if you look at a well, especially, there's so many times in the Bible that talks about, well, and I was trying to find the perfect verse, and I had Cami looking, and she was helping me. Where is what I'm talking about in the Bible? But you see it every time people meet around a well. Jacob's well, all these different wells that are in the Bible. What is going on at a well? People are coming to it. See, a well, people have to come to it. It doesn't normally go out. People come to it. So that may be the spin on it. When people are coming to you, you better have a bucket. And you better be ready to pull that up and give it out. Wells, they don't dig themselves. Keep that in mind. Digging a well is a lot of work. The well that's on our property was a hand dug well, you know, and a lot of them were. And Cammy's dad helped clean it out a lot of time back in the day, and they would get down and dig it out. A lot of work. Digging your well with God a lot of times most likely is going to be a lot of work. And it doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't happen overnight, guys. You're not going to get saved today and the next day be this, you know, deep Bill Johnson well that just comes up and does all this stuff. It's a process. It's a process that God wants us to walk through. He has to learn that He can trust us, okay? He has to learn our trust. We have to show Him we can be trusted with these things. Madeline is learning how to drive right now. She just got her driver's license. She has to prove to me that I can trust her to drive this vehicle. And we're getting there. We've practiced one time. We got to do some more. Out in this parking lot. By the way, the church parking lot is fantastic to drive if you need to learn how to drive. So she's going to get in the car, and I'm going to have to tell her, "All right, put your seatbelt on." Okay, she does that. I'm like, "Okay, I can trust you'll put her seatbelt on." All right, now, when you put it in gear, always push your foot on the brake. If she slams it in the drive without pushing her foot on the brake, guess what? We're not moving past that point. We're not going anywhere else. We're going to stay right there until she puts a foot on the brake before she puts it in drive every time. we're not moving on. If you don't get those things that God gives you, those lessons that God gives you, He's not mad at you. He's not upset with you. He still loves you. You're still going to heaven. You're still part of the family and everything else, but you're not going to drive until we do this. I'm not giving you the keys until we do this. And then so on and so on. Every taking left-hand turns, right-hand turns, whatever it is, we're going to work on it until we get it. God is going to teach us those lessons. Before we can dig another foot down, He wants us to reinforce that and get deeper with Him. There is a few exceptions, and careful not to put God in a box. And I say it takes time, but I think there are occasions that God will, depending on the circumstance, allow you to see something that you need to see for that moment. He can give you deep revelation for that moment. God, I say it takes time, and normally it does, and for a healthy, deep well, it does. But God can move past that if you're in need sometimes. In Genesis 21, Hagar, and Hagar was the lady for Abraham and everything, but Hagar is out in the desert. And she and her son are about to die because they've been kicked out. And it's a very deep, big story, but there's one part of it that's very important. She says, God heard the boy crying, and the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, "What is the matter, Hagar? Do not be afraid. God has heard the boy crying as he lies there. Lift the boy up and take him by the hand, for I will make him into a great nation." And in verse 19 it says, "Then God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. So she went and filled the skins with water and gave the boy a drink." God supernaturally puts this well out in the desert for her because she needed it. God's not going to let you die. He's not going to let you die. He loves you too much. He loves you too much. And if it just comes down to it, boom, there's a well. Get you some water from it. You didn't dig it. You didn't work on it. May not be there tomorrow. But boom, here's a well. You need it right now. Wells are personal. They're fresh and clean. It makes us whole and healthy. So, the question is, and I'm wrapping up. This is what I wanted to get across to you guys. Are you a river or are you a well? Is your family a river or is it a well? Is this church a river or a well? We have to be both. We have to be both, guys. We have to be both. For the reasons we just said, we have to be both. If we were only a river, what do we do in a drought? When things get tough and we can't see or feel God, when the rain of His goodness seems to have left us and we feel alone, there's people in this church, you feel like you're going through something that nobody else in here could possibly be going through. I'm the only person. God, Satan is so good at making us think we're the only person in the world that could possibly be going through this. My situation is so crazy. My situation is so different. There are so many elements of my situation that nobody can relate to me. That's what Satan tells us. And when you get in that place, if you've got a well in the backyard, you can say, God, I don't see you. I don't feel you. I don't know what's going on. I don't understand. But because I have this amazing history with you, because I can drop my bucket down in this well and I can see every layer that you have taught me something. Oh, I remember when that happened. Oh, I remember when that happened. Oh, I see that brick right there. I remember when I laid that brick right there. I remember when you healed that person that I was praying for right there. I see that. Okay, well, maybe there is hope. Maybe there is hope. We have to have that well. We have to be a part of the river. Because, guys, if we're not flowing, we're not affecting the way we should. We can't just keep it to ourselves. Hide it under a bushel? No. Remember? I'm going to let it shine. That's what it's about. You can hide that thing under a bushel, and eventually it's just going to go out. It's going to be useless. God's like, well, if you're going to hide it, I've got to move on. I've got to give it to somebody that's going to use it. And there's one other thing that's really, I guess, what we should be. My little definition, I can't remember how it's worded. A spring is a point at which water flows from an aquifer to the earth's surface. So that's kind of how it works. We dig deep, and God pushes it out. God will find any crack He needs to, and He'll push it out, and that spring feeds into the river. So that's what we need to be, guys. We need to be this spring. And I think, to me, that is the combination of the two things. I want to bring a spring. Spring up a well within my soul. I need to be the spring that is fresh water because I'm getting it from God. I'm not getting it from the Southern Baptist Convention or the First Pentecostal Church of Dallas or whatever you're looking at. I'm not getting it from that. I'm getting it from God, but I'm feeding into those things because those things are doing something for God, because those things are making an impact for God. So yeah, I'm going to feed into that. I'm going to feed into my brothers and sisters, but I'm getting it from deep down because I've dug this well with God. Because I've dug in this place and I've reinforced this place with God. So what I've got is pure and fresh and clean, and it's love. And when we get there, guys, then we're making an impact. We're making an impact. Worship team, if y'all want to come up. You got something? Please do. Please do.
I do. God was showing me several things this week while we're on vacation, and this wasn't one, but Madeline, since you're learning to drive, as much as I love you, I'm not riding with any 15-year-olds ever again. I've done my duty. I'm done. I'm through. The last 15-year-old I rode with was, y'all know my friend Bruce and Jen from Fort Thurman, Texas now. They have four girls. I think this was girl number three. She was here at the church. She lived in Fort Lauderdale, so she was driving in Fort Lauderdale, and she wanted to drive home from here. I'm like, if she can drive in Fort Lauderdale, man, she can drive anywhere. So we're going home, and we hit the stop sign at my house where you hit 120. She stops, but she never looked. And whoop, right across the road we went, and I'm like, what are you doing? She said, it just said stop. It didn't say look. I've only done red lights. We do red light, green light in Fort Lauderdale. So I'm like, oh, thank you, Jesus. No cars were coming, and we all lived through it. So I'm through with 15-year-olds driving because there's so many situations in life that we don't think about, that we are so accustomed to that others are not, that we have to teach. But I want y'all to sing that last song you did on God's love today as James was talking about the wells and the rivers. And I don't know if y'all noticed this morning, but my grandkids, Eden and Kennedy, are having a hard time understanding that Gigi has enough love for everyone. So y'all saw the sweet version this morning. But this can quickly turn into hair pulling, biting, rolling on the floor, wanting Gigi's lap alone. And God, I tell them, I have enough love for you. The older ones, Sydney, Hannah, and Zealand, and Caroline, they went through the same thing, and they're kind of learning, Gigi has enough love for me. It's going to be okay. God has enough love for all of us. His lap is big enough for us all. He's going to have us in His lap. There's nothing that He can't love us through. And that I keep trying to impress my kids. I thought, we need to learn it too. I have to realize He has enough love for every one of us. He has enough love for us. And the other thing I wanted to share with you is I have this Brittany Spaniel. I have a mate in Purdy. Her name is Miss Purdy. And when she's around the house, she's pretty calm and she's cool and she's collected. But she is a bird dog. Her instincts are to look and hunt birds. Well, we don't have many birds around here, but when I take her to the beach, we go to a whole new level. So, you know, there's leash laws there. So those little leashes, she's ripped through all those. She just laughs at those. So I've got this long orange cord that's it's a rope. And that's her leash. It's about 30 foot long, and I wrap it around my waist because when she sees these little sandpiper birds, she's going to choke herself to death, and she wants to get them. And so when I get past where all the people are and I walk way down the beach, I let her do her thing. And she thinks she's going to catch that bird, and she has passion, and she's not going to get tired. She would do it all day till her paws were bleeding. She would do this. And she chases those birds, and people come up, and they go, do you know she's wanting to catch a bird? I'm like, really, Sherlock? I didn't get that. As she's choking me down the beach, you know, I didn't know that's what she's wanting. I had no clue. One day, there was a duck swimming. Have you seen those? It looks like the Loch Ness Monster. I've never seen this weird kind of duck, and he goes in the ocean, he swims under, he's eating fish or something, I don't know. Well, she sees this duck, and I'm like, this is it. This is when I'm going swimming in this cold water today. It took all my might to hold her back. And she didn't care that she was choking herself. She was wanting that duck so bad. And that was her instincts. And God said, my instincts for you are the same as hers. My love for you is that fierce. You cannot take that instinct. You can't tame it out. You can't burn it out. There's nothing. You can't shock it off of her with shock collars. There's nothing that's going to, that instinct is in her. He said, my love for you is so fierce. My love for you is so strong that there is nothing that can kill it. There is nothing that will take it out of me. There's nothing Satan can come and bring in your life that will make me not love you. There's not anything, not anything, nothing. My love for you is that strong. The wells that we dig that he talked about today, they're so deep. He said, you can't go. You can keep going deep as you want to, and you'll never get the end of my love and my love and my strength and my passion for you. And when you get to that well and you think it's going to keep going, it bubbles up and it goes out in those rivers, and that's when we spread his love out. Yes? Yes, amen. So I want you to think, picture this bird dog and me dragging down the beach with him, trying her, and she's just passionate for this. And God said, I put that in that to teach us. I'm that way to you. I'm that way to you. So we stand and sing this morning. I want you to ask yourself, am I digging those wells that James talked about in my life? Because, you know, we have to do it on our own. It has to be personal. And are we being that river out there? Are we sharing? Are we seeing people? Are we seeing people, even though they're not like us, they may be different from us. Let us not be afraid to reach out to whatever God puts for us tomorrow. Amen? Amen. Let's sing. You pursue.